On this episode of College Crosscast, we're not even talking about college lacrosse, but stay with us. We're going to be talking about lacrosse, definitely. Except we'll be dabbling in the pro game a little bit. Major League Lacrosse, National Lacrosse League, and the two women's leagues, the UWLX and the WPLL. But we're not going to be focusing on the games that are being played or the players in these games. I will be focusing on how to make professional lacrosse, specifically Major League Lacrosse, better for viewers and new followers to watch the games and become a fan of pro lacrosse after college lacrosse. Because we focus a lot on the college game, but after college, it's not really you're done. There's still lacrosse left, and it's some of the best that you will ever watch. I'm Chris Ostremski, and this is College Crosscast. And welcome to College Crosscast. This is Chris Ostremski, otherwise on Twitter at CF Ostremski. I'm actually recording this in the KYW News Radio studios where I work. So if you hear really good equipment, it's because I'm at a radio station in Philadelphia recording this. So it's just me today. No Ryan, no Safe. We'll be doing some pods along the way. Reviewing the season, any coaching changes, especially Michigan. Joe Amplo going to stay at Marquette, not go to Michigan at all. St. Bonaventure has an opening still. Plenty of other transfers to talk about during the summer, which haven't happened yet. We'll probably hear one or two or a few of them later in June. But for me, this is something that started on Twitter. I was originally going to write a post about it, but I figured, why not do a pod? So I'm doing a pod by myself, really venting a little bit about pro lacrosse in general. As a college lacrosse fan, I'm not really a big MLL lacrosse guy. I'm more of a college guy, trying to dabble into pro a little bit more with some of my Syracuse guys, like Sergio Salcedo, Nick Mariano at Florida, being drafted just a few weeks ago, and guys like Kevin Rice and Dylan Donio, Randy Stotts, those guys on Atlanta that have been drafted previously last year or 2 years ago, and they in Kevin and Randy's concerns. So pretty much I'm trying to be a fan, but the play is great, and obviously I've heard from Kevin a lot and a lot of the coaches, Ryan Daney, the offensive coordinator with the New York Lizards, who, by the way, congratulations on his new role with the Turkey Lacrosse Association. He'll be their new GM, chairman, and head field coach. Big ups for him. Actually, a great year overall from him, from the Lizards to this, too. And the pod for In Your Face Laxcast with Andy Towers. So it started with me trying to watch the MLL. Had a week left on my LSN subscription. I have not picked it up yet. And I don't really want to bash the league because the play is really, really good. And the players and the coaches and some of the front office people have said that. But it's a few other things that, you know, doesn't seem like they care. And I'll go over a few things that I think could make the league better. And I've been discussing with how to get mainly the college viewer into the league. But it hasn't seemed from what I've been hearing. And it seems that the college viewer hasn't been able to stick to the MLL, and the MLL has tried that years ago and it hasn't worked. So they need another change. So I took a little bit of some notes during the Florida launch game. I'll start out with what I saw with the launch Lizards game on Saturday at Florida Atlantic University. One thing that really got me was some of the play-by-play and the color commentary. Pretty much pronunciation of players' names. Big one was Pinnell and Tullett. Actually, at the end of the broadcast, when they were previewing the Blaze launch game, they mispronounced James Pinnell as panel. And if you're an MLL fan, you know that the New York Lizards have James's older brother, former Cornell great Tourette's winner, Rob Pinnell. So you'd think that maybe they would have gotten it right, and they did not. Another one was Alec Tullett, the defenseman from Brown. Yeah, they're actually pronouncing it Tullett. And it's kind of leading to one of my first points of having media people, PR people, media operations people for each team. If you can't pronounce simple names or you don't know the correct pronunciation of names, why are you even trying to do these games? And if you're a college fan, you know Tullett and you know Pinnell, and they pronounce a name like Mariano or something like that, a different pronunciation of a guy. I'm trying to think of others that might be tough. I can't really think of a lot of hard names that are tough to pronounce. Maybe Michael Penapinto next year instead of Penapinto. If he goes to the MLL, he's another Brown midfielder that I can think of right now. Can't really think of a lot of hard names. But they know guys like the two guys that will, at least Tom James, a play-by-play guy, Doug Shanahan, a former Trollerton winner, Hofstra, he knew his stuff. But if you don't know how to pronounce simple names, what purpose do you have in doing these games? It shows that you don't really care. For me, it shows that you don't care about what you're doing, what the work that you're producing. Now, if you get the names wrong, that's one thing, too. And then a big thing that was heavily criticized during the broadcast of that game was Nick and Tom Mariano. Tom's the head coach at Florida. I believe he's also the head coach at Pace College in New York. I might be wrong on that. I feel like that's right. But he's a college head coach somewhere. The play-by-play guys and even Doug Shanahan were saying that Nick Mariano, was the younger son of Tom Mariano. There is a significant age difference between Tom and Nick. Tom's around near in his late 40s. Nick's in his early 20s. So it could be possible that Tom could be his father and Nick could be his son. But if you know his story, if you look at his bio, if you remember from the MLL draft, if you watch it or even there, Nick Mariano is the younger brother of Tom Mariano. And when I turned it on from the late second quarter to about the midway through the third quarter, I counted five times he was mentioned as as the son of Tom Mariano. And they even had a full screen graphic of Nick Mariano about his accolades, where he went, Syracuse. I think he might have had transferred to UMass or All American, something like that. And another one was younger brother of head coach Tom Mariano. And three times I heard the son of Tom Mariano. And then at the end, right when they were going to go back to play, I think Tom interrupted saying, oh, well, he's not the younger brother because he's not the son of Tom Mariano. He's actually the younger brother. They corrected himself after multiple times of saying the fact wrong. So just wanted to point that out. Like, you got to care at least. Saw earlier in the month and a couple weeks ago, the MLL Twitter account mistakenly, forgot to get Ohio's correct matchup. They said that the Machine were hosting Chesapeake Friday night at 7:30. Or I think it was something at 7:30. They got the date wrong and they got the time wrong and the opponent wrong. That was not the case. Ohio actually had to tweet out their correct matchup, and it was a pretty weird, awkward scenario. I'm trying to find the tweet now. It's been a long time since I saw it, a couple weeks ago. But it was kind of weird to have your league account, and it was up there for a good amount of time, a very good amount of time, get up there. It was still up there. And to have your league account miss an easy, here we go. So catch this squad, the Ohio Machine, take on the Rochester Rattlers this Saturday at 7 p.m. This was, I believe, last week. And then the Ohio Machine replied, we play the Bayhawks, Chesapeake Bayhawks. And then the next one said it was also Friday at 7:30 instead of Saturday at 7. And I believe the Machine were also on the road. The MLR didn't really say if they were home or away. But still, that's a little weird to mistakenly to put up your wrong matchup for the league. If you don't know it, then that's another issue. So care. The main theme that you'll hear in this is care. Care, care, care. And the players and the front office management and coaches, they care for each team. But after that, you know, some of these play-by-play guys, some of the color commentators, I know our good friend Brendan that I've been chatting with, Brendan McDaniels, who does a lot of the Rochester games, does a really good job too. Carcaterra, some of these ESPNU guys and CBS Sports Network guys, Evan Washburn, Dave Ryan, Quint, Mike Corey, some of these guys that you see on TV during the college season do a great job too, because they do a great job at the college game. They know the sport. They also have experience with the MLL too, so they know a little bit. Some of these guys do know a little bit, but you can also see that they don't really put the effort into their preparation. So if they prepare and they care, it might be a better product to watch to enhance your experience. The play is great. And again, I want to emphasize, the play is great, but the other stuff that tries to market off this play isn't that great. Like, another thing that I'm going to touch on is the logo. The MLL logo, I don't think, has been changed since 2001. And the dude that's in that logo is wearing a weird bucket. It's not the biggest thing, but it's something that I feel like should be addressed, because there are now R's and S's and Warrior Evos and even the Stallions, that one of the ugliest helmets, but that's a different story. The helmets have significantly changed since the league started in 2001. Change the logo or make it more modern to seem that he's not wearing a bucket of a helmet. That's another small issue I have. I'm going to read down this list that I have that I made a couple weeks ago, or actually a week ago. First thing I have is I was watching, pretty much coming up from watching the games on LSN that I had the last day of my subscription, and it was week 7. One of them is have pregame shows that don't feel like magazine shows. I was watching the Twitter pregame show, and from what I saw, the LSN people, who, by the way, are great people, met Chris Marshall, met Josh Hawkins. Haven't met Margo or Travis in person, but I feel like they're good people. The programming, you know, especially with the pregame show, because all their games are kind of produced by LSN, the pregame shows feel like magazine shows in the fact that it's just sharing what's on Twitter and Instagram. It doesn't show me or the viewer what's going on in this game. It's more of, hey, look at this guy doing this. Or, hey, actually with Memorial Day, since it was Memorial Day, they showed a couple tweets of the teams honoring Memorial Day, which doesn't do justice because it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 5 days after Memorial Day when I was watching this. And Memorial Day is old news. They did show a little bit of Bill Belichick playing lacrosse, which is cool. Always cool having Bill Belichick or an NFL guy play lacrosse, or a big four-sport guy playing lacrosse. Kevin Durant, I believe, or Russell Westbrook. Someone on the Thunder had a Iroquois Nationals jersey a few years ago, and that kind of blew up. But I would like to see analysis or smart talk about the game that I'm about to watch if I'm a viewer. And I believe the game that I was watching, what was the game I was watching? The Cannons game was on LSN. That was the first game. I believe the Blaze were playing the Hounds on the other game. I'm pretty sure that was what it was. The Blaze and the Hounds playing that second game. Because John Crawley had a nice 6-goal game for the Hounds. But I wanted to hear and see some thoughts on the upcoming matchup, maybe even on the few others that were the two others that played on Friday, and then the other game that was going on about a half hour before the other game started, which is Boston, and I believe, I'm not sure who was playing that one. It might have been Denver. But regardless, just give me a preview of what I'm watching. Give me a preview or something smart that says you're smart and you know what you're talking about with your pregame show, instead of showing me tweets that I can find instantly on Twitter or Instagram posts. Sharing what players and teams do doesn't really do a whole lot for me trying to enjoy the game. It just shows that, hey, these players are doing this, and that's cool. Cool. Number two, make teams care about the draft. I was at the MLL draft. It was a good experience for the first round. Second round, you know, a lot of fans started to leave. Third round, a lot of fans were gone. But then near the end of the draft, I saw some top players not get, mainly in my mind, Evan Malloy, the goalie for Syracuse, didn't get drafted. Some other guys didn't get drafted either. Now, there's a supplemental draft in a little bit as well that a lot of more of these players will probably get picked up by many of these teams. Evan Malloy will probably be picked up by one of these teams in the supplemental draft. But in the later rounds, it's a long draft, 10 rounds, 90 picks overall, 9 picks per draft. Per round. You have teams like, like Atlanta, instead of picking quality players, they decide to pick local talent. Florida even, too. Florida picked a guy, well, Connor Whipple was a great pick, 9th round. I like Connor Whipple from Tampa. And then the 10th round, they picked a guy from Florida Tech, or Florida Southern. They might have picked a Florida Tech guy, too. Just local guys around their area that are just, hey, congrats, you're in the MLL because you're nearby. That doesn't say a lot. I've heard even some teams auto-draft the latter part of their draft. They don't care. They might leave 5th round. I've heard a story about one team making a list of players that they wanted, and as they got drafted, they just crossed their names off, and the top guy that was on their list would be their draft pick. They pretty much auto-drafted like you do in fantasy football sometimes if you either miss out on your draft or forgot about your draft, or you're just too lazy to pick your guys near the end. You gotta at least care if you want to win. You don't see the NFL just pick guys locally. Like, you don't see the Eagles picking a guy from, you know, Bucknell because he's close by. You don't see them picking a guy from Temple because he's close by. Great players, by the way, from Temple. They do their due diligence, and they can find hidden talent in these 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds. Why can't the MLL guys do that? Connor Whipple might be a really good 9th round pick. I have not seen him play yet. Hopefully he gets a time to play. That'll be another discussion too later on in this pod. But please care about the draft teams. Please. Number 3. Make teams release an inactive list or a dress list like the NFL and NHL do. This is mainly something of the NFL, what they do about two hours before game time. They make each team release an inactive list. So if a guy that's hurt, he's on that list. Guy that's just scratched, he's on. The MLL has a 25-man roster for each game, active roster for each game. Some teams posted, some teams don't. And Florida posts, and it's really great to see who's playing, which rookies are playing. That's great. Dylan Malloy wasn't on last week. That'll be another discussion. Dylan Malloy was on this week. Matt Rambo has not been playing yet. College break. Okay, that makes sense. But I like to know maybe when he's playing, but that's another discussion too. Scott Furman played last week with the Lizards. Didn't play this week. Don't know why. Didn't know that he wasn't playing this week until I was watching the game. And actually, not really watching the game. It was pretty much looking at the box room. Like, oh, he didn't play. Why? Why didn't I know this before? Why didn't fans know this before? If each team released a 25-man, Boston does a great job. They actually have infographics, too, of their jerseys. Florida does. I think maybe a couple teams, other teams do. But But if each team just releases it 2 hours, or even some teams even know beforehand because they have to fly them out. So even a day or two before the game, each team releases their 25-man active list for the game. That's a step forward because people know who will be playing. We won't know if Randy Stotts plays because he's doing NLL stuff. Shout out to the Georgia Swarm for winning. The Thompsons still have some time with the NLL. They just won too. When will they play? Will they play next week? Will they play in 2 weeks? Will they take a week off? That's why maybe a 25-man active list comes. Maybe find out from the coaches when some of these guys will play too. Just be a little bit more open about the players. Number four, have every player with headshots on their team pages and update team rosters when moves are made. Florida Launch is a bad example of promoting their draft picks on their page, which doesn't feel right, too. That's another thing that I'll get actually right next. Mariano, Malloy, Salcido, Tullett, their draft picks, Connor Whipple even, too. They have no bio on their on the Florida Launch page if you look up the rosters as of Sunday morning. And I looked up because I started figuring out if maybe they updated their roster. They have not. Some of the players don't have numbers yet. I don't know who an example of that, but Florida probably is the worst one who doesn't even have too lazy enough to just make simple, basic player bios for their new draft picks. And I think it would be easier, too, for everyone that goes to training camp at the beginning of the year, if possible. It's tougher for the rookies, but at least everyone who gets there for training camp that's a returning player, to have their headshot taken, posted on the website, have updated stats. That's another discussion, too. Have updated stats from the season and a little bit of their college stuff. And if you're a rookie, either if you play, you get there, you get a little quick photo taken, because you'll probably be playing in a jersey you'll be wearing anyways. Or just even take the college picture that's on college websites. It's easy. Just right-click, save as, save it, and upload it. Or you just ask the SID for each goal, because you're an MLL team. They'll probably say, oh, yeah, that's more advertising for each school. Again, a little small thing, but it might go a little ways for fans to figure out who's on what team. If there's a Salcido fan and they haven't really followed him, figure out where is he at. Don't find him on any of the team rosters, and then you have to realize you have to find him on Google. And Google Sergio Salcido MLL, and you find it there. Number five, make team websites not feel like sections on the MLL site. The MLL site, if you go on the MLL site, it's a good site, clean site. And then you go on the Florida Launch or the Rattlers or the Outlaws or the Bayhawks or the Machine, and it feels like, doesn't feel like their website. It feels like part of the MLL website. It's just a little section of the MLL's website. It's not like the NFL or the NBA or the Pro Force teams, or even the MLS too, who has separate websites for each of their teams. NHL and MLB have MLB Advanced Media to provide their internet stuff. NHL does it. And you can feel a little bit of like similarity, but it still has their own personality, their colors, fonts, customized tabs and whatnot. So just make it a little bit of your space, not renting an office out. Make it like your home that you bought, not renting out an office. Six, revamp LSN programming. Now, I was discussing with this Ryan Conrell of Lax All Stars last night on Twitter, asking if LSN was part of MLL or owned by MLL. Well, actually, they're not owned by MLL, but their LSN is technically owned by Lax United Marketing LLC, which is located, headquartered in Boston. MLL is also located with their headquarters in Boston, and apparently, if you look up both of their addresses, they're at the same exact place. So does maybe the, what I thought was, does the MLL have a stake in LSN programming? Because they're heavy on MLL programming at LSN, and they're the exclusive, pretty much the only pretty much the only provider of MLL games because they produce all the games, even the games on Twitter. Except, I think, the MLL Championship game and maybe the All-Star game. I'm not sure about the All-Star game either. Championship games on CBS Sports Network, which is, shows a lot of the Patriot League lacrosse games during the college year. But a lot of the LSN programming isn't really 24/7. Do some more advertising on LSN because all the most of the ads that I've seen on LSN when I have the subscription have been I've seen last year when they started it up in January. I don't think they've had they might have had at least one new ad, which was their Denver Outlaws MLL Championship documentary, which is on LSN. New Balance is an advertiser too. But they have similar programming. It's at weird times, where people mainly are people are mainly working, and even players and players of the MLL and even media people that cover the MLL, apparently from what I've heard, don't have subscriptions to LSN that are free. It's kind of weird. Revamp the programming, maybe make it a little bit interesting, have it on better times. And it's tough for a digital-only digital-only service that makes you pay $8 a month to subscribe to their content. Seven, we'll go to LSN later on, but actually, we'll continue with LSN a little bit. From what I've seen, I was talking with Jack Goods of the Marquette Wire, too, on Twitter. And it felt weird that every game that I had this week was called the MLL Game of the Week. There were four games, and each game was the MLL Game of the Week. There's one team that has a bye each week. Four games, all four games are the MLL Game of the Week. Which one's really the Game of the Week? Are they just called the MLL Game of the Week because you can't make a clever title? Why is the Twitter game not the MLL Game of the Week? And it's just the Twitter Game of the Week. Make that the Game of the Week because more people can see it on Twitter because it's free. Whereas on LSN, you have to pay $8. I'm not sure people would want to pay $8. To watch pro lacrosse maybe just once a week. I don't know. I'm not. Other people have different. Other people have different reasons to buy LSN and they think differently, and that's fine with me. But in my mind, why would I pay $8 when I can watch a free game each week? Put the best game on Twitter each week. And they do have a schedule online on the MLL's website. And another thing is, if I forgot to, advertising as well during the games. Watching the launch Lizards game on Saturday, and the MLL schedule that I saw had week 1, 2, and 3 schedules. They were in late April and early May. This is today of this recording. It's June 11th. That's over a month old. I'm not going to, what's the purpose of having schedules that are over a month old that are already done to promote your league and promote LSN and promote lacrosse in general? Really? Be better. Show week 9, week 10, week 11. Show some of that programming. Show some of that, where are they going to be? Where are they going to be on Twitter? Are they going to be in LSN? What time are they going to start at? What day? That's easy stuff to do that an intern or some worker at MLL or LSN could easily do in a few minutes. And then also Instagram or graphics that I saw from LSN did not advertise at all the Twitter Game of the Week. I only heard about it Friday or Saturday, although there is a press release out by the MLL saying, here's the schedule of Twitter Games of the Week when they announced their deal at week 2, I think. Why doesn't LSN help their advertising, help grow the sport of lacrosse, and help the MLL grow, too, to advertise the Twitter Game of the Week, when they're also producing the game? There are three other games on your platform. Why not show off which game is on Twitter? Just add a Twitter logo, and you're fine. Number 7. Have people that care about MLL stats. Kyle Devitt of Inside Lacrosse is saying something about this on Twitter at the halftime of the, once again, Lizards and launch game. Some of these stats are wrong. figured out today when I was on the MLL website for the launch and Lizards game. They gave all the stats in the box score of the Lizards plays to rookie goalie Benny Pugh. Benny Pugh did not play. It was number 14, Austin Kalt. Kalt played that game. He won that game in overtime. Other than that, other stats, some stats don't even get taken down. Some stats are completely wrong. There are even better people like Joe Keegan, Moneyball Lacrosse, and our own from College Cross, who does a lot of good MLL and NCAA writing. And he's a diehard MLL fan. And he should be easily one of the better MLL guys, and he is. And the MLL should take notice of the work that he's doing and use his expertise and skills and dedication to the game, which he's doing for pretty much not a lot of, I don't know how much money he gets from doing a lot of this stuff, but he dedicates a lot of his time to doing the MLL, and for the most part, he's pretty on ball with his stuff, whether it's moves, trades, stats, interesting stories that I read too on his website. Just care about stats. Another emphasis on caring. Hire people you know that know about the sport. Please. Because it shows something bad about lacrosse too. Not only from the college end, because college end is obviously the most popular form of lacrosse. Number one, I think. NLL and high school might have a spot for 2 and 3. And then after that, pro lacrosse, MLL lacrosse, number 4. And it just shows that, you know, after college, who cares about lacrosse? Lacrosse is not a sport on those ESPN Twitter comments. Lacrosse is not a sport, not a sport. Basketball is more of a sport than lacrosse. That's another discussion. 8, Mark, this is probably one that I was discussing because I'm the college aspect. Market players are the focus on where they went to college. From what I've heard, that's worked. I might just scratch that maybe. But it might not hurt. Maryland guys, Matt Rambo. Whenever Matt Rambo plays, have them marketed for like Charlotte Hounds. It's Maryland Tourton winner, Matt Rambo. Might have some Maryland guys check under Rambo, see how he's doing, dominating in the pros. He hasn't played yet, by the way. Number 9, have rookies all debut at the same time. And in case of last week, Salcedo Mariano played, but why no Malloy? No explanation was given to Malloy. And they are on a college break. They're still at college. Some of them may be still doing classes. Some of them just relaxing and having fun. And in cases like Matt Rambo, they are winning the Tourton and having a break from lacrosse altogether. It might be a stretch to have a rookies all debut at the same time because it might be a lot. But at least give reasons on when they might be able to debut. Makes sense, because we don't want to be, because it's tough to wait and realize, hey, where's Dylan Malloy? Shouldn't he be the number one overall pick? Shouldn't the number one overall pick be making his debut unless stated otherwise by the team or league that week? Be a nice little debut. Apparently not. But they waited on Twitter, which is a good idea, I guess, because more people could see Dylan Malloy play lacrosse for free. Number 10, try to expand. Plenty of talent sitting on the bench. It's tough to expand from what I've heard. Here's some notes. Team offices are very thin. Aren't many resources. I get it. I'm not sure how many people work in MLL organizations or the MLL altogether. Fun fact is, Charlotte, Florida, Ohio, and Rochester are owned by Jim Davis, the chairman of New Balance. So you have 4 teams, nearly half of the league, owned by one guy. Atlanta, Boston, Chesapeake, Denver, and New York are the only teams with ownership groups as well. No team is a franchise. It's like the MLS with where I'm getting to now with expanding, but no team is a franchise. When you buy a team, quotes, you are buying a share of the league. It's a single entity like the MLS, which is why salaries and player movement isn't exactly a free market. there is plenty of talent out there. As I mentioned before, Malloy, there are guys that are sitting on the bench. Scotty Rogers recently sitting on the bench instead of Bergenlohr. You could make a team of 25 guys at least out of players that don't play a lot in the season, in the MLL season. You could easily make a roster of 25 guys or 30 guys and make another team, make it 10 even teams, maybe even more. Houston is a possibility. Los Angeles, San Diego is a possibility. They should expand. They need to expand in order to grow the game and the league. From what I was looking at, a lot of the teams on the East Coast, Denver is out west, Florida is down south, but most of them are Maryland and above, if I'm correct. Mainly Maryland and above. It's kind of like the college lacrosse landscape. A lot of the teams are situated in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic region. There are some teams in the South, which is why kind of you see have two or three Southern teams in Charlotte, North Carolina, Atlanta, and Florida in the South. And then Denver, one team represent the two college teams in Air Force and Denver, the Pioneers. Question is, who's interested? Are there investors and sponsors that would be interested in having an MLL team? How do you appeal to investors outside of the product, which is very appealing, attendance and viewership? How do you boost that? Got to appeal to many of these people with money, because money talks in this world. Number 11, be smart with scheduling against the NCAA tournament games or conference tournament games, or even the NLL. And the NLL part seems like it's not going to happen in a long time, as stated by Nick Sakowich of the NLL commissioner, by the way. With their Canada viewership, he said that 70% of their viewers from Game 1 were from the U.S., and as he was saying that, the Canadian viewers on Twitter were having problems watching the Champions Cup. I'm not sure for what reason. Saskatchewan was home for Game 2. I'm not sure if Canada decided to block that game out because it was in Canada, but it didn't work. It was fine for Game 1 last week in Atlanta, and it was in America. That's the NHL's problem, not ours, but you know, a lot of these teams didn't have a lot of attendance because the NLL was still in their playoffs. The NCAA was still having big games, big conference games, Big Ten, I believe conference tournaments at that time. ACC was going on maybe a week before, or that week. You had Big Ten, CAA, Patriot League conference tournaments going on. More people were interested in that because it's important lacrosse. You're getting to the point where you might see these teams play in May at Foxborough or one of the quarterfinal sites, and at any game, every game now is very, very important. And with the MLL, it's the first few weeks. You're not even having your full roster on because guys are still in the NLL. You don't even know your rookies yet. You didn't even know your draft. I mean, it was pretty heavily rumored that it would take place during championship weekend, the Sunday before the national championship game, but that wasn't announced till like a month before, which was, in that sense, bad marketing too, because it was kind of a assumed thing, but for most common fans, it was a shot in the dark. I'm like, oh, wow, not January, not at LaxCon. Instead, at a Toby Keith's Bar and Grill in Fox at Patriot Place. Be smart, maybe push the season back a little bit. See how that goes. Start it at the end of NLL season, or have the NLL try to move their season forward. But the NLL has their own problems too with venue availability and whatnot. So it's just it's a touchy subject for both leagues to do, and they have to both figure it out all together. Number 12, get a commissioner that knows what they're doing, better leadership. Dave Gross has been around since 2001 as a commissioner of the NLL. And the same model he has had has stuck altogether. Need new leadership. I think a lot of these things in my mind can be fixed with a new commissioner at the helm. Not saying Dave Gross is a bad person. He's probably a really good person. But some of the things that he's tried to do hasn't really worked. So maybe with a guy that once knows a little bit about the sports industry, maybe even about lacrosse in general, they can try it up, bring back the sport, bring back the league, like it used to be in the middle 2000s or late 2000s. That might work. That might be a big one there, getting a commissioner. 13, big one, all caps, get on TV besides the MLL championship. What was the point in going to LSN this year? Simply just them and Twitter eventually later on. What was wrong with last year with having some games on LSN and some games on ESPN3? That was a fair balance. And if you wanted to watch the entire season, you could have watched it on LSN. Pay some money. But people might have not paid a lot of money, and that's why they might have moved it to LSN. ESPN3 was a great platform for many years to watch MLL lacrosse, and I think a lot of their games are on, I believe most of their games are on the ESPN3 or watch ESPN platforms. Even some regional networks carry the game. CSN Mid-Atlantic does now, but it's on a tape delay, which, you know, doesn't really do a lot of justice in this world because you can find out who won in this pickup of your phone, look the internet, look on Twitter, somewhere, wherever. And you find the score, and you find the stats, and you find cool highlights. You find Josh Burns' sick fall-down goal. So there's no need to watch a pre-run game that happened the day before, or a week before in that case. You got to get on TV. And there are TV networks that might need some content, too, during the summer. ESPN might be worth it, but they have some stuff. NBCSN? Outside of July with Tour de France, not really. What do they have? I don't really know what they have. They don't have soccer. They don't have baseball. What do they have? Nothing. Great spot, NBCSN. They have an app, NBC Live Extra app. They do that for the Premier League. All their games on the NBC Live Extra app. Great start. Great program. Owned by CSN is owned by NBC. Or Comcast, whatever. Yeah, Comcast owns NBC and CSN. That's a perfect match in my mind. Fox, FS1, maybe not because they have baseball, they have soccer. They might have a little bit of programming. They might bump you down a little bit. And then CBS Sports Network, that's a perfect match too because they are currently airing the MLL championship game. At least it's further than the NLL because in where I'm at, there are no games on TV, on cable TV for the NLL. The MLL at least has the championship game and maybe the All-Star game. I'm not sure about the All-Star game, but at the very least, they have the championship game, which at least they should do the semifinals too to get people at least tuned in. But that's also going to be on LSN and on Twitter too. Got to get on TV. My eyes are set if I'm an interested MLL guy is NBCSN because they don't have a lot of programming that might be interesting for some people from April to August when the season ends. April, May, and June is a lot of hockey talk, but still, it's really tough to do that with the NHL, with the NHL playoffs, which might be a hindrance, but once the Stanley Cup Finals are done, there is a chance that you could get yourselves on NBCSN and at the very least start on Live Extra and then move on to NBCSN and have two games each week, Friday and Saturday. Good to go. Maybe a back-to-back on Fridays and Saturdays. Plenty of options there. You got to get back on TV somehow, some way. 14, find ways to get more people to games. The Atlanta game that I saw last week was not that good. Florida was, and for a lot of the, for the most part, the games are filmed, the crowd is where the cameras are, so you see, if you see anything, it's either trees like Ohio, or an empty stands like the Lizards last week, or a few weeks ago. Got to make people come to these games somehow. Free tickets, discounted tickets. Work with other teams like the Braves. Hey, if you go to the Braves game, we'll give you 15% or 50% off a Blaze ticket in Kennesaw. That might work because Kennesaw is kind of near where they play Braves games in Cobb County. Find ways to get more games. That might be promotions, marketing, better marketing, whatnot. 15. Why is the MLL playing their title game indoors? MLL title game is being played at the Ford Center in Frisco, Texas, the Dallas Cowboys home practice facility. Seats 12,000. That's a nice seating. Might sell out. Maybe not. Not sure yet. Also, nowhere in a market with an MLL team. Kind of a downplay. Also inside, last year they did at the home of the Atlanta Blaze, and it rained very hard. And second time it rained really hard during a championship lacrosse game because it's the same thing during the ACC final. So why are you going indoors for an outdoor lacrosse game? I don't get it. If you go indoors for a lacrosse game, you should be watching box lacrosse, but you're not. Why are you going indoors? Very befuddled by that decision for the MLL to move their game from an outdoor place, which Kennesaw wasn't bad, but you just got, once again, bad luck with the thunderstorm that passed by the area again. And also at a location with no MLL team in the area. Nowhere near the area. The closest team you might have is probably Atlanta. Maybe Florida. One of those southeastern teams. And they're far out still. I would have gone to Florida. Florida's not bad. It's warm. It's nice. Super Bowls are played there. Do that. Atlanta's warm. Mainly, actually, every part of the South is warm. Maybe even, actually, most of the entire nation's warm at this point. Better locations. All-Star game as well is in Sacramento, not in Southern California. That's a weird decision in my eyes because most of the lacrosse is... Quick Kesnick was saying on his Friday podcast with Terry Forey on InsideLacrosse.com, The lax hotbed in California is in Southern California, San Diego, Los Angeles, that area. Nothing really in NorCal and Sacramento. It's an odd decision. We'll see if it works. Give it a try. Okay, I'm fine with it, but it's just a weird decision in my eyes and Quinn's eyes that you go to Sacramento. And for me, it's weird in my eyes to go to Dallas, Frisco, where they don't even have a team yet for your championship game. One other thing I have is we already talked about the MLL Twitter care and the updating the logo. Stop pushing the league down people's throats, including with other lacrosse writers. I feel like some people are trying to push the interest of lacrosse, mainly MLL, a little bit too hard and try to say, hey, if you like college, you should watch CMLL. Bill Tierney of Denver, when he wanted a shot clock, Eamon McEnany of formerly of ESPNU, but now of Sports New York, SNY anchor, he was saying, like, if you wanted a shot clock, go watch MLL lacrosse. We can watch MLL lacrosse, but we also want in the college game because a lot of people watch the college game. We'll try it, and it might not change your opinions of our thoughts of a shot clock, but maybe if we don't like how some of the things are in the pros, we still might like in college. Some of the Coach Tillman mentioned about the dive and the shot clock rule in the pros at his press conferences at the end of the season. But stop, pretty much, I think in my mind, just stop pushing, trying to push and force people to get interested in the MLL, because if you force them, then it's kind of not fun to do. In my eyes, I would try to like lay easy on it, try to get people interested in some other way other than just forcing it. Like, hey, you know, college lacrosse is done and high school lacrosse is done. So there's no more lacrosse. But, you know, if you're smart, you should be watching the MLL because that's where all the really good players are. I mean, that's true. But then you get to see some of the other stuff like marketing and people that care. And it's like, do they care at all? Doesn't seem like it. What else do I have? Anything on here that I have? One writer that I know, good guy, he said that the MLL had an all-star feel. Change up the rules. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with rules-wise. I'm okay with having the two-point arc. I think it's gimmicky, the two-point arc. But I'm fine with the MLL having it. I'm fine with a shot clock. And I'm one of those guys where I want to see a shot clock in NCAA lacrosse. And some people in the MLR are saying, like, hey, if you put a shot clock in, you need to put a two-point arc in. No, you don't. Why would you put a two-point arc in college? That's not how the game has been traditionally played. If you want to make new rules with it in the pros, that's fine. But you're not touching the college game. You're not touching the high school game. Leave it as it is. No two-point arc because, for me, it's a gimmick. Just like people talking about changing the face-offs. Leave the face-offs as they are. They're fine as they are. If you try to make it mainstream with adding new rules like no face-offs or a two-point arc, I think you hinder the game more than help it. So leave the face-off stuff. Leave the two-point arc alone. And come up with new rules and try to differentiate yourself and make yourself interesting without forcing your innovations on the rest of the lacrosse world, when for the most part you might not have that strong of a lacrosse influence outside of the college. With the MLL, and I know they do some orange balls, it seems okay. I'm fine with the white balls too, but orange balls are pretty good if they use the weird sticky ball or whatever, the rough ball or something. I forget what it was, the grip ball. I don't really care. But I heard on the Quinn and Terry Foy podcast that Jake Steinfeld, the founder of MLL and Body by Jake, who loves to tweet in all caps about his MLL players being the best and having the most heart and whatnot, blah, 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 heard Quint say that he mentioned to have that Steinfeld wanted to have glow balls and glow sticks, which is an obviously hilarious thing because I'm not sure how the glow ball would work. Glow sticks sure as heck are not going to happen. That's an extra thing on your player sticks. That's added stuff on the sticks. I'm not sure how that's going to work with players wanting to put more stuff on their sticks whatsoever. How are you going to install these glow stuffs on your sticks? That's a silly thing. The main thing is trying to make the viewing experience better, but putting glow balls and glow sticks just feels kiddish. Again, another gimmick. Don't do that. Anything else that I have? I'm trying to think. I don't think I do. And here's my final point is I want to see the league succeed. It's tough for me to watch the MLL because of their marketing. It's a great sport. But again, there are some other obstacles that I get irritated with. I'm trying to watch a game, and people mispronounce names, easy names that I know, that seems like, hey, you don't care, you don't know the sport that well, get people that know the sport. People getting facts wrong, easy facts wrong, again, you don't care about the sport. Advertising's wrong, again, you don't care about the sport. You got to care about the league. Oh, yeah, you got to care about the league somehow. And outside of players and coaches and front office people, it seems to me that some important people don't care about the success of their league, of the MLL. And if you get guys like Mike Corey, especially TV guys, Mike Corey, Paul Carcaterra, Quint Kesnick, Evan Washburn, even if Eamon can do a game, Eamon can help with marketing the game. Brendan McDaniels, as we mentioned before, some smart lacrosse guys, if they know how to do, Ryan Boyle, by God, I would love to see Ryan Boyle, Matt Ward, Ryan Flanagan while he's playing. So, but some guys that we know from TV that are smart, Booker Corrigan could do a game. I mean, he's the best high school guy. He was, I think he didn't even do a college game this year. Jay Alcher does some ESPN3 college across stuff. Some of these guys that, and Dave Ryan, but some of these guys that we see on TV that know about the college game, that even know a little bit about pro lacrosse, but have an overall knowledge of lacrosse in general, get them. They know stuff about the sport. If the MLL wants to succeed, the big thing is care. And saying that the players in front office and head coaches and coaches care isn't enough, because we know, and I know, that they care. And I'm not saying that they don't care, because they do care. That's why they leave it a lot on the field. They have a fun time playing lacrosse. But everyone else needs to care. Everyone else that works in the league that needs to care. Make the league a better experience for those new time viewers and people that are watching games that have been watching since the league started in 2001. Because the NLL is blowing the MLL out of the water. And another thing, because I mentioned the women's sport a little bit, the two-league thing is stupid. The UWLX started last year. Didn't watch any games, but it's a traveling league, four teams. They travel to high schools, and that's it. The WPLL, the women's professional lacrosse, so compared to the United Women's Lacrosse, UWLX, lacrosse something? I don't know. UWLX sounds weird. But the WPL, Women's Professional Lacrosse League, started up after the former commissioner of the UWLX, Michelle DeJulius, left. And now she's the commissioner of that. And they will be starting up, I believe, in 2018, 2019. They'll have an exhibition in the fall of 2017, from what I've heard. Something like that. So there's going to be two separate women's professional leagues for lacrosse. And barely the first league started. I feel like that's going to kill both leagues altogether. Because I'm not sure how much attention the UWLX is getting. It's not getting a lot of attention from us, obviously, because we're college cross. And barely any attention more than, well, I think MLL and NLL get more attention than the women's leagues right now. Because I don't even know when they play games. So I think with two leagues, it's really, really early to say that we're ready for two leagues and having competition, because you're not. And it's not worked at all with the North American Lacrosse League or LXM Pro with field lacrosse, because they both had to merge or they had to fold. So it's the challenge again, because it hasn't happened with the women, but, you know, is it too early to do it? Yes. We'll be back, me and Safe and Ryan and maybe Jake Nazar, because he gets us ratings. We will be back with a college crosscast. A college crosscast, not talking about pros. We might talk about pros, but mainly college digression of the season, recap, any coaching changes, probably Amplo news, predictions for 2018, maybe predictions for the who gets hired and whatnot, transfers, whatever. We'll still be with you talking about college across, because that's what we do. It's Chris Jastrzemski. Follow me at CF Jastrzemski on Twitter. Follow the main account at SexyTimeLax. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/collegecross. And follow us on Instagram at college_cross. And leave us a review, 5 stars. That helps a lot. Please, please, please. You might not have a better hearing podcast than this one right now, because studio, radio, studio quality. Chris Jastrzemski signing off, and as always, stay hydrated.